Tonight is, we're starting to get some really fun stuff, everybody. I just made an order for, if you want Blue Book or Red Book, they're still available, I believe. I don't know. Brother Terry?
I'm actually going to check.
Is he going to check? We do have, these are coming in. I just ordered 30 more of each. These are the smaller books. If you want those are available too. And they're $12.99 a pop, is it? I don't know how much they are. Terry knows all things. Okay, but we're in chapter 5 tonight. I don't know what, so if, what I want to do is have you all go to the chapter called Spiritual Authority. Spiritual, yeah, it should be in the blue book. Spiritual Authority. Chapter 14. Now, if you have the blue book, you have all the stuff that's in these other books and more, actually. Thank you so much, young man. Your daddy made it, and now you're giving it to me? Thank you so much. Thank you. It's not Folgers. So, I love this chapter because it really helps us start to understand who we are in Christ. I just want to be honest with you. Most believers don't know who they are in Christ. Because of that, we have serious issues. Well, the devil beats me up. Well, I have this problem, and I have that problem. Most of the problems that we have, we don't have to live in. The issue is that most believers don't know who they are. Who are you? Well, you're a child of God. Now, the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, who came and dwelt inside of you? The Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's God. So God dwells inside of you. What does that actually mean? Now, you need to grab a hold of this because that means that now you are a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. That means that now God himself dwells inside of you. Who's God? Well, he is the infinite, almighty, supernatural. There's nothing that he cannot accomplish. Where does he live? In heaven, or does he live in you? Well, he kind of lives in both places. We know that God is seated in heavenly places. We know that Christ is sitting at his right hand of the Father. But we know that God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they are three yet, run, triunity of the Godhead, that God by his Spirit dwells inside of you. The very first place we see the Holy Spirit is where? Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And the Bible makes the declaration that the Spirit brooded over the earth at creation. So we see that the Holy Spirit, who was at creation, is now dwelling where? Where is the Holy Spirit? Inside of you. Turn to someone and say, I'm possessed. Really, though, you need to really understand that because it means so much more than just, I'm possessed. I mean, think about it. God needs a host. I know. It's so exciting. Honestly, I was very excited to see you walk in. Everybody, let's give Jay a hand clap. He's missed 3 weeks, but we won't talk about that. Oh, I'm sorry. Only two. So, because God dwells inside of you, there's a need to understand that you're not normal. You are not. You are peculiar. You are a unique people. If God is dwelling inside of you, you are not like every other human being on this planet. And this is extremely important because what's happened in Christianity when we start talking about someone being born again, the whole focus on being born again is getting to heaven. How many of you know you're not in heaven yet? That's a good sign. Amen. How many of you know you're not in hell either? Some of you might feel like it sometimes, but you're not there either. So here's the truth is that because we're not in heaven, God by his Spirit is dwelling inside of us. We are possessed people. That means literally every bit of who you are has God inside of it. Being a new creation means that literally we don't live the way the rest of the human beings live. We are now part of the kingdom of God. Because we're part of the kingdom of God, we have kingdom rights. Being people of kingdom rights means that we live according to the supernatural principles of heaven, not the natural principles of earth. Now, this is extremely important because when the believer doesn't know this, then we are only hoping to get to heaven by the hair of our chinny chin chin and hoping to get there without so much damage. But this is not about getting to heaven. This is about you and I being here on earth and making a difference on this earth and being strong on this earth, being people of authority on this earth, and you and I living in the call of God that he has on our life. This is very important because when we live the normal, quote unquote, Christian life, well, we're just sojourners, pilgrims on this land, and I hope I make it to heaven. Glory to the Lord. Lord Jesus, come quickly because you know how bad it is. My life is just horrible. Whining and complaining and moaning and groaning and defeated Christianity. And listen now, when you understand who you are, you can't be defeated. No, three of you said amen. I said, when you know who you are, you can't be defeated. Amen. No, really, honestly, I mean that. You cannot be defeated. For if God is for you, who can be against you? Now, that is either a nice little Christian cliche that we have, or it's reality. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. A nice little Christian cliche or a reality. I can do some things through Christ. Oh, what was that? What's the word all mean? What is that? What's everything? Oh, that's right. There's nothing. There's nothing impossible if you only believe. Well, I'm just hoping to get to heaven soon. You know, the Lord just knows how hard it is down here on this earth. Just need boots now, don't I? I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle, jingle, jangle. So there has to be a shift. There must be a shift. And the shift comes through understanding. We must have a revelation, an illumination. When you look at the word revelation, it means something is hidden and then you unveil it. Illumination means it's always been there, but now you're putting the lights on it so you can truly understand it. And I need you and I, by the Holy Spirit, to have a true revelation and a true illumination of understanding the authority that we have on this planet. Because when we understand our authority on this planet, we don't walk around defeated because we can call those things which are not as though they already are. It's not about, hi, I go to church. Well, the devil goes to church, whatever. This is about you and I living a real life of authority and power on this planet and making a difference and literally activating the supernatural on this natural earth. And people are hungry for the supernatural. And the churches are running away from the supernatural. They don't want to offend people. But the psychics don't mind offending people. We got one right here in the square. I walk by there and bind that devil in the name of Jesus every time I go by them. Just bind that demon that's given him knowledge. Well, why is that? Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in that man's life. That devil that's manifesting to bring somebody into a position of being captivated by the supernatural that's demonically based, I have the authority against that in Jesus' name. And so do you. Turn to someone and say, you have authority. That's right. So I want to talk about spiritual authority tonight. All of that, 15 minutes of it, was just the babble. Here we go. It's very interesting when we start talking about demons. There are a bunch of believers that no longer believe in demons. I don't know if you know that or not.
Really?
Oh, yeah, they don't believe in demons. They believe in God, but they don't believe in demons. But you need to know if there's a real God and you really believe in the Bible, then you really believe in demons. I want to remind you who Satan is. Satan was one of the archangels. You had three archangels. Who were they? Michael, who was the what? Warring angel, very good. Gabriel, who was the what? Messenger angel, and Lucifer, who was what? He was worship. Not he wasn't the music producer. He literally was music. When you study his body, when he moved, he created worship. We talked about that in praise and worship. So he decided that he wanted to raise himself up above God, as it declares in the book of Ezekiel. Isaiah chapter 14, I believe it is. He said, I will raise myself up above God, and God sent and cast him down, and one third of the angels followed him, according to the book of Revelation. One third of all the angels now were cast down with Lucifer, and now they are no longer godly, but ungodly. So there are one third of the angels of heaven that now are called demons. And demons are very active. Demons are on this earth. Like Lucifer was sent down and cast down to this earth, so were the demons. And so Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, let's talk about the garden real quickly. God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And he gave man, Adam and Eve, dominion over the earth. What's the word dominion mean? It means power and it means authority. Ooh, I just feel the Holy Ghost. Power and authority. And so what happens is, in that power and authority, they were granted the ability to oversee, to cultivate, and to mandate all of the animals, all of the fish, all of the bugs, everything they were in absolute control of on this planet. The seas, the skies, the birds, we can go through all of the animal kingdom. They had authority over all of them. The dinosaurs, that's right, they were dinosaurs, had authority over all the Tyrannosaurus Rex and everything. Now here is very interesting, because when Adam and Eve decided to go against the will of God, they actually surrendered their authority. They surrendered their dominion on the earth. Now, we know this according to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, if you remember, when Jesus was being tempted of the devil. Now, this is a parallel gospel. You can see it in Matthew 4 and also Luke 4. When they were being tempted, when Jesus was being tempted of the devil, remember, he went into the desert for 40 days, fasting and praying, and the devil came to him three different ways. Well, with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We know that Adam and Eve lost because of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We know, according to 1 John chapter 2, that the Bible says that if the love of the world is in you, then the love of the Father is not. And how do we identify the love of the Father? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So here Jesus is being, he was brought up on this top pinnacle spot, and the devil said this to him. Now remember, we're talking about Lucifer. He was the archangel that was cast down, that Adam and Eve then gave dominion and authority to him to rule, as the Bible says, he is the prince and the power of the air. The Bible says he is the god of this world. So here's Lucifer. He has Jesus up on the pinnacle place, and he says, look at, all of this has been given to me. I will give it to you if you will worship me. He had the authority, he had the dominion, he had the power. Why? Because it was given to him by Adam and Eve. But thank God for Jesus. Can I hear an amen? You see, up to that point, Jesus had authority over the demons, and he gave authority to the disciples. We'll get into that a little bit here. But ultimately, the demons had the free will to do as they willed and desired to do. Now, when you start studying demonology, which we're going to touch a little bit, I believe, next week, when we start getting into the different demons that are manifest, they're demons of sickness, there's demons of infirmity, which deal with different sicknesses. We know at that point was dealing with osteoporosis, arthritis. We know that he dealt with demons that made blindness. We know that demons also brought muteness. We also know demons brought deafness. We also know, and we can go through the line of all the activities the demons do to bring sickness on different people. But also, demons always strive to do what God has done. Remember, the devils only try to counterfeit God. What's the counterfeit? God needs a host. God wants to live inside of us. So what's the demons do? They also counterfeit. And that's why we have demon-possessed people. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a demon-possessed person before. I've seen many of them. I've watched them manifest. I've actually watched faces change. I watched one person's face change almost into a dog. Levitation. Oh my! What do you mean, where? That was in Tennessee, by the way.
What? For real?
Well, yeah, I'm going to stand up here and lie to you. I've seen people demon possessed slither like snakes. without using their hands. I had a man, excuse me, a person look at me, and that was a woman that was very, very petite is the word I'm looking for, and talked to me straight up in a man's voice with a growl. I've watched where I've walked. I remember I was in Bible school, and I walked up to this girl, and I said hello. She was a visitor at the school during graduation, and my hair went shoop, and I went, whoa, that girl's got devils. That afternoon, my roommate cast six of them out of her. So I've seen so much demon activity. I've watched demons that cause sickness come off of people, literally come off. We had a woman in our church. She had, what is that thing called? Fibromyalgia. And she was to the place where she could hardly even move. And this was over in the school. And I looked at her. She came up for healing. I looked at her, and I saw the demon on her shoulder. And I said, get ready. Watch this. And actually, it's on video somewhere. And I went just like this. In the name of Jesus, go. And I pushed my hand right past her head. People thought I punched her in the face. And I watched that spirit go right out the back door. And four or five people come up to the after service and said, Pastor, did you see that demon go out that back door? I said, absolutely. And that woman went back to the doctor and was proven, she brought back paperwork, that she no longer had fibromyalgia. Cancers are demonic. Blindness is demonic. Deafness is demonic. These all have demon seed to them. Anything that has life that breeds death is never from God. God gives life, not death. That is debatable, because they're not sure if they gave 39. That is a good religious story, but it's not proven scripturally. So here we have, I want to start talking about this, because when people start talking about demons, they get a little freaked out. But when you understand your authority, there's nothing to be freaked out about. When you understand authority, the moment demons are being talked about, it's like, yeah, whatever. One day, Lester Summerall was in bed, and a demon came into his room and started shaking his bed, and it shook his bed away from the wall all the way to the middle of the room. Lester Summerall woke up, of course. The demon left. He cast the devil out of the room, and then he said, by the way, get back here and move me back where I belong. Christians are afraid of demons because in America, demons are different than manifesting in other countries. In other countries, especially third world countries, you'll find demons manifesting in a more open opportunity. It's not a strange thing to see someone demon-possessed and manifesting in a different country. When we go to Mexico, it's not a strange thing to see demons manifest in Mexico, especially when we go to the Yucatan Peninsula. Their god is a snake god, and they still have actually a cave where every year they take a brand new baby and they throw it in so the snake can eat the child alive as a human sacrifice. Yes? Exactly. Smith Wigglesworth woke up and he looked down. There was Satan at the end of his bed. He goes, oh, it's just you. And he rolled back over and went to sleep. See, so many Christians are afraid to talk about demonology when actually that should never bring fear to your life, because you have absolute authority over every demon in hell, even Satan himself. And so if you understand this, then when you see demonic activity, you identify it, you have the authority in the name of Jesus to overcome it. But those who do not understand authority, when a demon manifests, they get scared. I want to remind you, perfect love casts out all fear. The devil loves to bring fear into people's lives. Fear is the opposite of faith. So if the devil can get you in fear, then he knows you are not trusting God. And if you're not trusting God, then you're an open opportunity. So there's a need to really understand your authority in the name of Jesus. There's a phenomenal book, Pastor Brother Terry. Can you go back in my office, the Believer's Authority books? I believe there's two of them on my bookshelf. They're tiny little books. There's a phenomenal book, and I would encourage you all to read this book. If you'll write down the title, that'd be great. Everybody online, watch, read, look at the title. It's called The Believer's Authority by Kenneth Hagin. Who's ever read that before? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Believer's Authority by Kenneth Hagin. You need that book. In fact, it's even easier than that. If you go online, hit Google, type it in, it's going to come up as a free PDF. I forgot all about that. You don't even need to buy it. It's free. So I would encourage you to read that book because I can only just slowly cover this. But that book there is going to help you understand spiritual authority in a greater dimension. You must understand spiritual authority because if not, you will cower when the enemy comes against you. Yep, Google and do a Google search for that, the name of that book, and it will come up as a free PDF. If you do not know your authority, the enemy will take advantage of you. He'll take advantage of your family. He'll take advantage of three areas of your life: your health, your wealth, and your family. He'll take whatever he can get because he hates you. You need to know that. The devil hates you. This is what the book looks like, The Believer's Authority. Right here. All need to get this book. That's what it looks like. So let's look at it real quick. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. In Jesus, there is no fear of Satan. You need to get that in your spirit. In Christ, you never have to be afraid of Lucifer. Listen, the old church has always taught this. Well, you know, you don't want to say anything bad about the devil. You know, I'm telling you, in the book of Jude, you know, even Michael the archangel wouldn't come against him. Well, let me tell you about Michael the archangel. He's not washed in the blood of Jesus. He's not been given authority in God's name to act on his behalf. He's another angel, equal power, but you and I are not equal power with the devil. God is not equal power with the devil. When I grew up as a kid, it was almost like, this is how, I don't think it was actually taught this way, but this is how it was related to us, that the devil and God are fighting. And it's a warfare in the heavens between Satan and God. There's no warfare. The devil's defeated. The only authority he has is what God gave him in the first place. There is no battle in heaven. Jesus kicked the devil's butt, Revelation chapter 1. He took away the keys of death and hell. The devil, the Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 3, that Jesus made an open spectacle of him, made an open show of him, which means this: he made a laughingstock of him in public. Now, where's the public? In the spirit realm. Every demon saw that their man was kicked down and pushed aside. Man, you ever seen it? You know, you got a bully, and he's got a crew always with him, and you kick the bully's butt, and what happens? The crew runs. It's exactly what happened, man. The devils know they're defeated. Satan knows he's defeated. But if he can get the believers with the lack of understanding, for my people perish for the lack of knowledge, then what happens is simply this, is that when the enemy comes against you, you cower. The moment he sees fear. You ever been around a dog that smells fear? You know, dogs can smell fear. You get around a dog and you're afraid of the dog, man, it just feeds him. It's the same way with the devil. The moment he can smell fear, he's coming after you. So you got to know your authority in Christ. Sadly enough, churches aren't teaching this anymore. I don't know why. I don't understand why. I think a lot of the pastors don't know themselves. You know, sadly enough, a lot of pastors don't understand. And I'm sad for them because they can't lead their believers in this. Now, I know I told you the story about the Baptist preacher who called me on the phone one time at 3:00 in the morning. Called me on the phone. He called me. This is when we first found out Star 69. It was, I think, in the early 90s. Star 69. So this gentleman, he's calling me. Well, listen, it's 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not answering the phone. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm staying in bed. And I did. He called me 5 times. The 5th time I got up and I hit star 69 and says, can I help you? And I wasn't all that nice. Can I help you? He says, Brother Spencer, Pastor Spencer, I'm the pastor of the Baptist church down here in West Danby. He said, and I'm in a situation that I need your help. I can't call my Baptist brethren because they don't believe this, but I know you do. He says, I'm sitting in my living room. My children are upstairs in bed. My wife is a nurse. She's at work. And I'm sitting on the couch looking at my children's pictures, and goat heads with flaming eyes are coming out of my children's pictures, and the demons are swooping at me while I'm sitting on the couch. He said, I'm not delusional. I'm not crazy. He said, I love God, but I'm scared to death. I'm afraid they're going to go upstairs and get my kids. What do I do? And I actually taught him the authority in the name of Jesus, just like in this book. And he took authority over those demons in his house and drove those demons out of his house. I waited about a week because I was going to go down and get him baptized in the Holy Ghost to speak with other tongues. I figured if I got him past that point, I could take him the rest of the way. And in a week, I went down there and he had already moved. He had already moved to Washington State. So if you don't know your authority, they're going to play games with you. So you've got to know. Amen? Divine authority. Divine authority is power because authority has to be granted. Nobody has authority unless it's given to them, except for God himself. He's the only one that, excuse me, that has ultimate authority, divine authority that is seated and set. Everybody else, authority has to be granted. If you're a manager at work, who's giving you the authority? Your boss. If you are, let's just say, a general manager, who gave the authority? Ultimately, there has to be an owner. The owner, usually, especially if they are a, let's just say, on the stock exchange, they themselves aren't even the ultimate power. There is a board above them. So there is power and authority, but all power and authority is granted. As was stated in the last chapter, there is no battle between Daddy and Satan. Father God has divine authority, ultimate, unquestionable, supernatural supremacy over Satan and over all of his cohorts. There is no comparison. Satan is in a war for people, not against God as an individual. Understanding authority means this. There's been a huge attack on authority in America. If you'll notice, you can see this even in the church world. In the church world, we have, boy, I don't think I'm going to get through tonight, guys, so we'll go as far as we can. In the church world, we have actually gone away from the principles of authority. I would really challenge you to read another book. Actually, you can listen to this book. You can get it on audible.com. It's called Spiritual Authority by Watchman Nee. Do you have that book?
We got it at the Women's Encounter.
Yes, the Women's Encounter. Spiritual Authority by Watchman Nee. Why is this book so powerful? This book actually reveals to you and I individually the rebellion that's in our own heart. Rebellion, the Bible says, according to the 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So what is rebellion? Rebellion is coming against divine authority. When people come against authority, they position themselves in a demonic activity. Every time that we see, and this is why with our children, with my kids, I always taught, this is one of the main principles I taught my kids. You will not be disrespectful to me. Because if you'll be disrespectful to me, you'll be disrespectful to God. Because if you can't obey the parent who you can see, you'll never obey the parent you cannot see. And I always was stringent, very strong. I had no problem corporal punishment and no problem spanking them up to Chad at 17 years old when he was disrespectful. Why? Because disrespect has the root issue the same as Lucifer did when he was cast out of heaven in the book of Isaiah called rebellion. And rebellion is evil. The very nature of Satan is rebellion. The very nature of the enemy is making sure that there is no subjection to authority. Because the moment he knows you're subject to authority in Christ's name, according to biblical principle, then you're in line to not only live in authority, but to exercise authority. For one who's not under authority can never exercise authority. So the enemy works desperately, and he's been working, let's be real, even in this generation. We have the young kids that we bus in on Wednesday nights, about 125 of them. And this is what we heard from the kids. This is what I don't know if they're taught this or they just live this. You don't respect me, I don't respect you. So we're talking like a 9-year-old kid, a 5-year-old kid looking at you and saying, you don't respect me, I don't respect you. Really, that's not the way I grew up. I'm sorry, I'm going to smack you down. Because whether you like me or you don't like me, no, really, that riles me because I was like, what? I had this kid right here. I was standing right here. I just kind of popped in on a youth group night. And I walked over. This kid's like disrupting 5 or 6 other kids from worship. And I walked over to the kid and I says, hey, man, you just need to relax. And if you can't, just go sit down. Who do you think you are? I went into a convulsion. And I looked at security and I went, he was right out the door. Why is that? Because when you don't respect authority, you're positioning yourself for death. Because if it's as the sin of witchcraft, who's the founder of witchcraft? Satan. So instead of following God, who are you following? See, rebellion is striving to be seated in the heart of man. Because the moment he can seat rebellion in your heart, you no longer will unquestionably follow God. It is one of the scariest things that every one of us needs to expel from ourselves. We need to ask the Lord, where is there any rebellion in my life? Because where there's rebellion, you'll find no authority can be released, which means you're what we call dog meat. The devil can do whatever he wants to you. He can torment you any way he desires. Man, I had one time I'm laying in bed. This is when we lived in Big Flats. And I woke up because a demon sitting right on my chest. Couldn't hardly breathe. And I just got out. I said, in the name of Jesus, get off me. And he had to get off me. Another time I woke up and I looked over in the closet because I knew he was there. And I went, listen, man, you don't belong in my house. Get out. I don't have to yell at him. He knows authority. When I remember looking at my kids when they were being disrespectful, excuse me, you don't have to yell at them. They know authority. And they know they have to yield to it. So if we are not going to be subject to authority, then how in the world can we ever expect the devil to be subject to us in authority? Therefore, he can run rampant in your home. He can run rampant in your money. He can run rampant in your relationships. He can run rampant in your health. And all you can do is, oh, God, where are you? And God say, no, the problem is not me. The problem is thee. That was good King James Version, wasn't it? Yeah. Thee. That's the issue. And that's why understanding authority and getting rebellion out of your heart is mandatory. It is a something that you... Now listen, in the church world today, this has been completely lost. Whether people like it or not, there are 5-fold ministry gifts found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 16, excuse me, 11 through 16, 11 through 20, I think you could bring it out to. And it's this. Jesus gave gifts to men, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and evangelist for 3 major purposes. Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, bringing them to unity, and bringing them to maturity. And that we must be subject, according to Hebrews chapter 13, to the spiritual authority that God has placed in our life. So what the devil has done in American churches to eliminate authority, he does this. People will remain in a church as long as they're not exercised authority over. Who do you think you are? You're just the pastor. When you have and do not submit yourself to authority, then you have no covering. Wives, the safest place for you to be is where? Submitted to your husband. Why? Because you're under his covering, according to Ephesians chapter 5. This is the safest place for a woman to be, is submitted to her husband. Women, submit yourself to your husbands, is what the scripture says. Not submit, beat down, thrown around, cast aside, but submit because he's loving you as Christ loves the church. And when you do that, automatically, there is safety because there is an umbrella over you of protection. And in the kingdom, dealing even with church, we find an enormous amount of rebellion within the church world. Why do we find rebellion in the church world? Number one, most people are not taught about authority. But number two, because when people start being brought under authority, because let me tell you my job. My job, according to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, is preach, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. My job is not just to stand up here and preach on a Sunday morning. If I am, I'm your whore. I'm just your spiritual whore. And let's be real, in most churches, that especially that are board run, the pastors just do what they're told. My job when I stand up behind the pulpit is to bring a word that God wants to speak to his people. And sometimes it's yahoo! And sometimes it's wahoo! But you'll find no matter where and how it is dispersed, that sometimes it's correction. Sometimes it's rebuke. What we find in the Christian world today is that when someone's rebuked, what they do is they turn around and run to another church. Can't tell me what to do. Which means, ultimately, they're not submitted to authority, which means they're in rebellion. We don't like to talk about this stuff because, you know, it makes us uncomfortable. But I think this is extremely important if you ever really want to be fully successful in your walk with the Lord and truly successful taking authority over the devils that will try to come against your life. And this is the truth. When you understand authority, you can exercise authority at its highest level. When you're in rebellion, study it. Every time God saw rebellion, what did he do? Crushed it. Anybody who was living in rebellion, he crushed them. Three main ones in the scripture. We have Korah. Korah was a leader in the church. And as a leader in the church, what he did was this. He went in and he looked at Moses and he said, Moses, who do you think you are? I'm just as good as you. I can preach just as good as you. I'm just as good of a leader as you. Man, who set you up? What's your problem? Moses looked at him and said, hey, man, I'll just be honest. You know, I don't want to fight you. Let's just come back tomorrow and let's see who God chose. So Korah gathers 250 other leaders, brings them with, and stands before Moses the next day. And Moses says, well, let's just see who God chose. And the Bible says the earth opened up, swallowed up Korah, all the other leaders, all of their children, all of their houses, and everything, and then closed back up. Well. The next one is Jezebel, the prophet of God. She's threatening the prophet of God. I'm going to kill you. And so what happened to Jezebel? She's standing on the top. She's standing up on the balcony, falls off, dies. And what happens? The dogs eat her alive as she's dying. The next one is Absalom, which is David's son. David went out to the front of the gate and said, listen, my dad's getting old. You know, just, I can help you. I'm his kid. I'll help you. You just come to me. I'll take good care of you. And, you don't need to bother my dad. So the Bible says he won the heart of the people. And then in rebellion, David had to flee from his own kingdom because of his own son's rebellion. What happened to Absalom? Dead. Every time. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Why am I nailing this so hard? Because if you understand what rebellion is and you extract it from your life, then living in spiritual authority is awesome. Because when I remember my uncle up in northern Maine, he had an infestation of ladybugs. Now I was there then. I mean, I was actually at the house. I'm not talking like five ladybugs in the window. I'm talking thousands covering the walls. So he had a choice. He had either had to call a exterminator, or he did what my uncle did. He just walked out, Uncle Eddie, and he said, "Listen, I have authority over you. I command you all to die and get out of my house." The next morning we woke up, the floors were covered, and they were all dead. You have authority in three levels: on earth, under the earth, and above the earth. On the earth, under the earth, and above the earth. How do we know that? The Bible says in the book of Philippians that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. On the earth, under the earth, and above the earth. It's called jurisdiction. Every police department has their own jurisdiction. They can't cross into another person's jurisdiction. But when you have jurisdiction over all three realms. Now, but Pastor, Jesus said he had jurisdiction. That's right. And Jesus said, "All authority I give to you." Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Everything that Jesus had on this earth, you have. Every authority he had on this earth, you have. And understanding that means we don't live the same. Can I hear an amen? There was a man named Christian Herter. He was the governor of Massachusetts. He was running hard for the second term in office. One day, after a busy morning chasing votes and no lunch, he arrived at a church barbecue. It was late afternoon, and Herter was famished. As Herter moved down the serving line, he held out his plate to the woman serving chicken. She put a piece on his plate and turned to the next person in line, she put a piece on his plate and turned to the next person in line. "Excuse me, Governor," Herter said. "Do you mind if I have another piece of chicken?" "Sorry," the woman said. "I'm supposed to give one piece of chicken to each person." The governor said, "But I'm starved." She said, "Sorry, only one per customer." Governor Herter was a modest and unassuming man, but decided at this time he'd throw his weight around a little bit. He looked at her and he says, "Do you know who I am? I'm the governor of this state." And she looked at him and she says, "Sir, do you know who I am? I'm the lady in charge of the chicken. Move on." See the lines of authority? As funny as that is, he tried to extend his level of authority where he had no authority. And she, who would be to him a minuscule woman, had a level of authority that affected him. Authority is powerful. If I went to the bank and I walked up to the teller and I said, "I would like $1 million, please." They'd look at me and say, "Sir, I don't have the authority to give you $1 million. And I'd say, "I'm telling you right now, you better give me $1 million. I'm not tolerating you being in rebellion right now." What's going to happen? Right. But if I walk into the bank with $1 million check, signed by a billionaire, and I hand them the check, they look at the check and they said, "I'll be right back, Mr. Spencer." They walk out back, they validate the check, they validate the signature, they might even call the billionaire. But then they're going to come out with what? Money. Why? Because that check gave me the authority, because of his signature, to gain wealth. You see, authority has to be given and granted. And Jesus wasn't impressed with a lot of folk. But there's a guy that he was really impressed with. And it's found in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 10. It's a man who understood authority. "Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' The centurion answered, 'Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another one, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, assuredly, I say, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way as you have believed, so let it be done to you. And his servant was healed that very hour. You know what marveled Jesus? This man understood authority. You want to know why? Because Jesus understood authority. See, Jesus wasn't here on his own authority. Authority has to be granted. When we start studying this, and I do want to show you this because I think it's so powerful, it's called the power of attorney. What's the power of attorney mean? What's the power of attorney? It means you have the right to act on somebody else's stead. Now, let's just say you're the power of attorney over somebody who's elderly. And they get to the place where, now remember, that's a legal document. Everybody say legal document. Power of attorney is legal. So now you've been legally accepted as the power of attorney. This person gets to the place where they're just not there. And they still need to pay their bills. Power of attorney says this, you can take their checkbook and you write out the bill and you sign your name. Your name signed is the same as their name signed and it's their account. You are acting on their behalf. You and I have been granted the power of attorney for heaven. That's why you're here on this earth. You're not here to survive. You're here to exercise God's kingdom on earth. Now, when we do that, wow, things manifest in such a manner. Let's just talk about this. This is when you act in business or a decision-making situation. You are the person whose name you are signing with their authority. You are acting on behalf of them with the same authority. You are essentially them. That's the power of attorney. Jesus didn't come in his own authority. Now watch, if Jesus came in his own authority, then there would have been no delegated authority, which means Jesus could have done whatever he desired. But Jesus did not come in his own authority. He was delegated or given the ability to act on behalf of or in the power of attorney of God himself. I'll prove it to you. Jesus did not one miracle until when? Nope. Christ's ministry, I want to remind you, Jesus was born of a virgin. He grew up. We see him at the age of 12. That's right. From the age of 12, we don't see him then until he's baptized. When he's baptized, we see that right here, Mark chapter 1, 9 through 12. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately upon coming from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son in whom you are well, in whom I am well pleased. Immediately the Spirit came upon him in the wilderness. It was not until Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him that he did any mighty miracles. It's very important. Because if Jesus did all of his mighty miracles because he was the Son of God, then there's no way for you and I to act in the power of attorney for Christ. Jesus made a declaration in John chapter 14. He says, greater things, greater works shall you do because I'm going to the Father. Well, there's no way for you and I to do the works that Christ did on this planet if he did them as God, because you and I aren't God. But because Christ did them through the power of attorney, through the delegated authority that the Father gave him to act on his behalf while Christ was on this earth, as the Spirit of God came upon him, because Christ could act in that realm, he also could give us that same power. He could give us that same authority. So therefore, we're not working on our behalf. We're not walking in our authority. We're not walking in our power. We're literally standing in the stead of heaven. See how powerful you are? Devil just wants you to think you're a Christian. Well, I just want to go to heaven. Well, you know, I don't want to just go to heaven. If you want to go to heaven, die. It means you got no purpose. Really, that comes down to it. And that's why it's so sad that this topic is not taught, because if you don't know your authority, then you're just a surviving Christian. Well, I just want to go to heaven. I don't want to just go to heaven. I want to kick the devil's butt while I'm down here on earth. And I want to take as many people to heaven with me as I can. And if I do that on my own authority, what authority do I have? Only what's being granted. So here we go. We keep going. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Now, I want you to see this. He didn't call him God, Jesus, the Son of God. The Father called him in Acts 10, 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, showing his humanity. The humanity of Christ is important. Why is that? Because most believers believe that Christ did all of these works because he was God. But Christ actually did all of these works because he was anointed by God as a human. Philippians chapter 2 said, I give up all of my heavenly glory to come down here and be as a man. So Christ gave up all of the authority that he had. He gave up all of the power that he had in heaven. He gave all of that he had. All the angels bound, he gave it all up and came down here to be a man. Hebrews said, he said, I did all of this so that I would be a Messiah who would understand all the trials and the tribulations that you're going through. But the power of this is that if Christ had to receive delegated authority to be able to do and work on behalf of heaven through the power of attorney, when Christ gives it to us, we can move in the exact same manner. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. And what did Jesus do? The Bible says he went around doing good, healing all those who oppressed of the devil. The devil just hopes you don't get this. He hopes you don't understand this. Because the day you understand this, you start getting dangerous. Because when you start standing against him, you see, the enemy will pull you and push you around until he is done. The devil will do whatever he wants with your life. As long as you don't know who you are, what do you do? But you see, this man is bigger than I am. He's honestly just being very respectful. No, really. Because I know he could take me. Am I lying?
No.
You would make me cry, wouldn't you?
No.
Now watch. I want you to resist me. Okay. You get it? Thanks, man. You get it? When you don't understand your authority, he can do whatever he wants to you. But when you understand your authority, he can't stand against you. So when you're not taught this, you're weak. But when you know this, he's afraid of you. He genuinely is afraid of you. Listen, when I get up in the morning, I make hell rattle. Spencer's up again, batten down the hatches. Why is that? Because, man, I'm just not playing games with him. He's not going to push me around. I had a spirit come on me this morning. I haven't had visit me in, oh my goodness, how long? 21 years. It's a specific spirit of infirmity that came upon my life 21 years ago when I was driving in a vehicle. Freaked me right out. That spirit came in the room where I was this morning. And I looked at him and says, come on now, seriously. Friend, it's been just a long time. I'm telling you exactly what I said. Right out loud. You're saying, well, you're just talking to the air. Oh, no, I'm not talking to the air. I said, now you know how it works. In the name of Jesus, you have no place. Move on. And that spirit left. Let me tell you, it's very real to me. I don't know what things are real to you, but that spirit's very real to me. And I want you to realize that if you don't understand your authority, when those spirits come into your life, you won't know enough to stand against them. When they come against your children, I think Corinne was 12, maybe 9, maybe, I don't know, 9 to 12. She went and stayed over a friend's house. Now, she didn't stay at a lot of friends' houses, but we knew this family very well. They came to church. Their son, oldest son was, yeah, so she was probably 12. The oldest son was really starting to get into rebellion and was starting to look into other gods and actually starting to play with some witchcraft. We didn't really know that. We didn't know that. So she's staying over her friend's house. At 2 o'clock in the morning, I get a call. Daddy, it touched me. I said, what? She said, I was laying here and I felt this evil come into the room and it came over and it touched my face. Come get me, please. Hurry up. And she's crying hysterically. And I said, hold on. Now remember, there's no distance in prayer or authority. Jesus did it right there in Matthew chapter 8. And I took authority over that spirit. I said, now, honey, you'll be fine, but I'm going to come get you. She said the spirit left her room. And I went over and I took her home. But you see, they allow those demons to run rampant in their house. I don't allow demons to run rampant in my house. They don't have a right. And they know I have the authority. And you do too. You know, we have people in this church on a consistent basis call us. Pastor, will you come and have your prayer team pray over my house because things are moving? Lights are coming on. I hear people walking up and down hallways. People talking. Can you guys come and clean our house out? Oh, sure, no problem. I got a call one day, and there was a man. He said to me, Pastor, I'm freaked right out. He's a new believer. He said, things are moving all the time in my house. I'm talking moving all the time. I put something here, and it's over here. I turn a light off, and it turns right on. The refrigerator's left open. I know I shut it. He said, I'm freaking right out, Pastor. And I said, well, let me come on down, and let me pray over your house. Went into his house, and I look, and there is a Native American witchcraft staff. And I looked at him and says, I just put that out in your shed. It won't show again. Put it out in the shed. The demon never manifested in his house again. I had a man who was a warlock up in Newfield. He had his staff, the spellcasting staff. He was so powerful that his parents were trying to sell their home, and he didn't want them to sell their home. So he cast a spell, a curse, wrapped it up in a little dowel, and took a banister, poured dowel out, put it in the banister hole, and plugged it down. And their house never sold. And so here he is. He's talking to me. He's bragging to me. He said, my God's stronger than your God. Oh, I says, come on now. Do you really want to play? And he says, I'm telling you, my God is stronger than your God. I said, watch, this is what we're going to do. You're going to have no power in the demon world for 1 week. I looked at his staff and said, I take all authority away from you in the name of Jesus. No longer do you have authority to act on his behalf. For a whole week, he had no authority. Could do nothing. We have a local guy who is a psychic. He's also a pastor. He showed up in our town. And I took four of our men who prayed strong. And we stood outside as everybody paid their dues to go in and have him do his psychic thing. Now, normally, let's be honest, he's good. Some of you have gone to him. He's good. Because remember, the demons speak to him. So we stood outside and I said, and my guy's with us, in the name of Jesus, you demons who are giving him understanding and knowledge, I bind you in Christ's name. No longer are you allowed to speak to him while we're out here. Five people come out. One of them especially was that warlock. And he said to me, I don't get it. He's usually right on all the time. He's got nothing right today. How about the lady who went into the arena last year? Psychic medium. Many of you don't know, but we sent a whole crew of people. How many were up in the room? Do you remember? 10 of them up in the room binding the spirits that were giving her understanding and wisdom. You know what's amazing? She was off all night long. People walked out of there saying, she's fake. She couldn't pull it. You want to know why? Because demons are subject to you in Jesus' name. I'll break down more next week. Does anybody have any questions? It's a good topic. You don't want to miss next week. That's right. She also got nailed by the IRS after she came. Glory to God. Anybody else? No? This is good stuff. Next week, I want to break down. I want to prove to you that Christ was handed the power of attorney and that Christ handed you that same authority. And so that you and I can literally do exactly what Jesus did. Not figuratively, exactly. Amen? All right, let's stand. Thank you all for watching. Now, listen now, we always receive an offering. Maybe you're there online. You can do it right there online. We always encourage you to sow. I always teach everybody here, don't come to the king's house without a gift. It's not my house, it's the king's house. Never go to the king's house without a gift. Just an honor. If you got nothing else, pull the lint out of your belly button. Glory to God. The Bible says he gives seed to the sower. So if you have no seed to give, it means you ate it. Don't eat your seed, you have nothing to plant later. Amen? Amen? Sowing and reaping, the principle of heaven. I got to mark this page. Amen. Father, we just release blessing. Lord, we thank you that we are not weak, pathetic little Christian people that are just barely surviving until you crack the eastern sky. Lord, we are very clear, Lord, in your house. That we thank you that you have given us divine authority. Not our authority, your authority. We thank you that you have empowered us, not with our power, but your power. We thank you that you have put your word in our mouth, and in our hand is healing and miracles and signs and wonders. We thank you, God, that in the name of your Son, Jesus, we have the authority to cast out devils. Demons are subject to us in Christ's name. Holy Spirit, if you don't reveal it, they'll just think it's another little lesson. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love you. Have a great night.